little wetter, but that can do it.
It is a problem, okay.
From the visiting outside planning. Mice are not working properly.
The machine is not right. Over and above that, it's an expensive exercise.
What did we do outside planning, an expensive exercise? Everything seems not to be okay.
I hope that it will last day that day. But welcome, what they are trying to do?
Aircon and stuff. That welcome as well. The
PA is for work. You can feel the heat. That is for the hands. Not only to all the hands.
No, what is it?
For the PA, towards the end of the tap. Meaning, we need to spend less time in Parliament and get in touch with people. So the program must be designed such that we are not here forever. That's one. Two, those who are going to study tour. It was a very terrible experience where you are going, very cold. You must have your overcoats, your guards, your warm stuff underneath, your hat, your boots, your everything. But that was just welcoming to a beyond schedule. And I'm told, because I want to emphasize, I'm told that the minister requested to leave the troop. I hope this one is true. Last time I was told that the minister is referring to the funeral, yet it was not true. So we corrected that later when my chief, unfortunately, I was the chief, when my chief came to inform me that this is the wrong information. The minister is in hospital and all. So we corrected that. That is why I'm emphasizing that I'm told. People tell me things that I don't know. So that's the first apology. The second, or the other three apologies, is that Honorable Bong is out of the country. Mr. Matisha is having another commitment in another committee. Mr. Mbinda is still dealing with party commitment. So Mr. Mbinda, the president of PEC. Ms. Van Damme is out of the country as well. I can say, for this one I can say, she told me that she'll be out of living on Sunday, last Sunday. Those are the apologies members that I don't think there will be a problem to release the minister at all. Members, because I think the deputy minister will be there, the office will be there. Some of the matters that she's supposed to deal with will be there. We are going to tweak to the program a little bit. we are not going to start with the adoption of the code. We'll ratify that at some stage. We'll go straight to the briefing by the Auditor General, and thereafter we follow the program, and then we'll adopt the COSA program at the end. The program that was delivered will adopt it at the end. Welcome, members. Welcome, Auditor General, Minister, Deputy Minister, Department, members of the media. I'm told that the safety is here. Is that true? That the safety is here? Good. In terms of parliamentary channel, which covers our committees, because we are here, I'm not sure if it will be covered, will it? So it will be covered on channel 408, because we are not in Parliament. Again, that is another problem. It's another problem if you cannot be talking to the people outside. We'll be talking to ourselves. The wireless ABC will cover what they can, but we'll be talking to ourselves. Thank you very much, everyone. Welcome for watching you, AG. Yeah, that's where we're.
Good morning, Honourable Witness, morning Office of the Minister, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister. My name is Alice Miller, I'm a Corporate Executive in the Auditor General. With your indulgence, Chair, let me just introduce my team.
Yeah.
Next to me is Julie Pillay. She's the Senior Manager responsible for the portfolio. She will also be doing the presentation. At the presentation, we've got Kulani Dugwele, and then also Luca Nyaveli from our office. Chair, we noted that the presentation was not so clear, but we've distributed copies. And as we go through, we will refer to the page numbers just to make it easy. Maybe we can just make sure that everybody does have a copy of the presentation. And then Julie is going to do the presentation, and I would like us to allow her time to complete the presentation and ask for the questions at the end, if that's agreeable. Thank you very much, Chair.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, to the Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, and to the Assembly for the evening today. We start our presentation with our deputation comment, which speaks to our constitutional mandate. I'm sure the members have seen this before. For the purposes of our presentation today, I would just like to highlight two aspects of this comment. The first relates to our commitment to enabling oversight and assisting the committee in the work that it does. And the second relates to accountability, which has been adopted by the AGMA as an important theme that we will talk to today. And this will also lead us into the purpose of our presentation today. Our objective today is to reflect on the audit outcomes of the portfolio and to assist the committee to produce a budgetary revision recommendation report. To start the first part of our presentation, looking at the scope of the work that we do and talking to the different types of audit opinions that we may issue. Honourable Chairperson, in terms of Section 20 of the Public Audit Act, sets out the requirements for the reports that are prepared by the Auditor General. Section 20 requires that the Auditor General provide an opinion or a conclusion on three important aspects. The first relates to whether the financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with the adopted framework, whether the reported performance information of the OSD is credible when measured against the predetermined objectives, and whether the OSD has complied with any applicable legislation relating to financial matters, financial management, and any other related matters. You will also notice that our audit reports are divided into three separate reports covering each of the sections as mentioned there. As part of the phase-in approach, we do not express an opinion or a conclusion on the reported performance information as well as the compliance with legislation, but we include any material findings that we have in the audit report. The next slide talks to the different types of audit opinions that we may issue, and just to make sure that you have a proper understanding, I'll go through that on a high level. The green block is essentially the standard that we would like all of our audits to be at. It's an unqualified opinion with no findings, also referred to as a clean audit. In this block, it means that we have looked at all of the three areas that I mentioned, and we did not identify any material findings related to any of them. The yellow block refers to a financially unqualified opinion with findings. It means that we examined the financial statements and we did not identify any material issues. However, we may have identified issues either on the performance information presented for audit or in respect of compliance with legislation. The purple block refers to a qualified opinion, and that means that we inspected the financial statements and we identified material matters related to certain aspects of the financial statements. And then for those aspects, we will qualify the opinion. The pink block refers to an adverse opinion. An adverse opinion means that when we examined the financial statements, there were various matters that were either incorrect or that we disagreed with. But because it affects so many items in the financial statement, we determined that would be an adverse opinion. A prepared opinion is similar to an adverse opinion, suggesting that tobacco affects a number of items in the financial statement. However, we were not able to get all of the information and the information that we required to be able to get an opinion. The next slide is essentially a legend that sets up that explains the colors that we will continue to use in the presentation and explains the arrows that we will use in the presentation. So then we go into the actual audit outcomes for 17-18. But before we do that, we just wanted to spend a little bit of time on the accountability wheel. Over the past 3 years, we have noted that there has been no significant improvement in the audit outcomes. With this in mind, the AGSA has introduced the accountability wheel, which we started with the last financial year, in an effort to increase audit outcomes. If we look at the slide with accountability being the target in the middle of the circle, there are four critical aspects that we believe each entity needs to achieve in order to improve audit outcomes and to impact on the financial system. Okay, so the whole aspect relates to planning. So we refer to the plan, do, check, act cycle. So if we look at statements number two, that relates to planning. Essentially, we're saying that it is imperative that leadership effectively plan and clearly define targets that the entity needs to achieve for the year. This might be related to our outcomes, but should also relate to accountability aspects. In the planning stage, it is important that action plans or audit action plans are developed, strategic and annual performance plans are clearly defined, and the budgets are prepared and such plans are prepared to ensure that appropriate planning is done. The third aspect of the statement refers to the implementation of controls. It is important that the entity implements good internal controls through the establishment of proper systems and processes. In order to do this, it is important that leadership ensures that key positions are filled with presence, with adequate competencies, that there is proper and effective record keeping, that there are daily and monthly disciplines of internal control, and that there is review and monitoring of compliance with it, compliance with legislation. The fourth aspect of this checklist is essentially related to monitoring by all assurance providers. This means that all levels that are responsible for maintaining and control, internal control procedures need to ensure that there are regular checks and reviews throughout the process so that corrective action can be taken earlier in the process. Statement 5 also refers to consequence management. At the end of each cycle, it is important that the entity reflects on the performance of the entity against the defined targets, and also looks at any transgressions that have occurred during the period and takes necessary action. This is a key aspect of driving accountability. Chairman, it is our view that if these four aspects are effectively managed and implemented with each entity, this will result in a better audit outcome, which in turn would result in better better livelihood. Before we go into the actual audit outcome, this slide essentially looks at the key elements of the plan to check as a cycle relating to the portfolio if we had to compare it against where we were in the previous year. So we're not talking to the outcomes, but we're looking at the movement between last year and this year before we go into the actual outcome. The first stage of the process is the planning process. Overall, if we look at the status of your audit action plan and we look at the usefulness of your performance indicators and targets, we notice that there has been no significant changes, except that we noted a deviation in financing who had findings in their audit report for the current year. If we look at the implementation of internal controls, basic financial and performance management controls, again, no significant improvements across all of the entities with the exception of branding, name, and address. If we look at ICT controls, we also no significant improvements. And if we look at vacancies in CFO positions, we notice that the portfolio has decreased in this area with new vacancies as GCIS, SPV, and FABC. We look at assurance providers. In respect to quality assurance providers, we noted no significant improvement. We also looked at consequence management. So specifically looking at compliance with consequence legislation, investigation of previous year conduct irregular features and wait for expenditure, and investigations into supply chain management findings that we reported in previous year, will be again noted no significant improvement. So we will go through these in a little bit more detail as we go through. Talking about the outcomes, we present the snapshot for 2018 and our high-level overview. The ideal to where we want or level the audit needs to be at is the first stop, that's the existing audit. For the portfolio, we noticed a regression in this area whereby 29% of the entities had achieved clean audit compared to 43% in the previous year. The quality of financial statements remain consistent at 86% when compared to the previous year. Quality performance reports had regressed from 67% to 48%, and 43% of the entities had no findings of compliance with legislation compared to the previous year. Generally, we look at the irregular expenditure over all of the entities. It adds up to 626 million. For the portfolio compared to 722 million in the previous year. But we just want to qualify that that is not technically an improvement because we did qualify SABC on the computer of irregular expenditure, which means that we don't believe that all of the irregular expenditure that has been incurred has been So the next slide essentially says about the outcomes of the portfolio over a five-year period. You notice that between 2014 and 2015, there has been some improvement in the portfolio, whereby three of the entities have seen orders outcomes. However, in 2017-18, the portfolio has regressed slightly, whereby one entity randomly had findings in the audit report. I think we should also commend CUC and GPIS for maintaining the clean audit throughout the 5-year period. ICASA and MDDA are both in the yellow block, meaning that they had a qualified opinion. However, they had findings either on both your performance information that has been reported as well as compliance with legislation. And SPD had findings on their performance information. SABC had regressed some qualifications in 2014-16 to an error in 16-17 and then a disclaimer in 17-18. The issues relating to SABC that resulted in this opinion primarily related to financial health. What's important to note is that in the 16-17 year, the issues of financial health were similar to the challenges that we have now. The difference being that in the previous year, there were various aspects that we disagreed with in terms of the amount of information that was disclosed in financial statements. So that has resulted in an adverse opinion. For the current year, through the work that we have done, we were not able to get all of the information and explanations that we required to be able to express an opinion. And that's what financial health will continue to talk about later on in the presentation. To the next slide, very much related to the previous one, and just talks to the movement between 16-18, which we've already covered. So we'll move to the next slide. The slide here essentially relates to the qualification methods that were reported for the SABC. So you'll notice that in 2015-16, there was one issue that the SABC had, which was on irregular expenditure, and since 16-17 and 17-18, the behavior is to include much more areas. If we're looking at 17-18, the key matter that's driving the disclaimer of opinion is the going concern. At the end of 17-18, the entity was commercially insolvent, which means that it was not able to pay its debts as and when it was due. When forming an opinion on financial statements, the auditor must obtain assurance regarding financial viability of the entity in the foreseeable future. So we did inspect the forecasts that were presented by management, but we could not get adequate assurance regarding the reasonableness of the cash flows presented. Maybe at this point, we should say that the entity did appoint the new CFO and the new CEO late in June and then in July. We were presented with additional information to have a different turnaround strategy, but given the timing of the audit and the stage of preservation of the turnaround strategy, we were not able to get adequate assurance that these strategies will yield the results that it should. So this is an area that we'll continue to look at in the next financial year, and this is a critical aspect to assist SABC to get out of the disclaimer of opinion that we currently have. Other areas that were qualified relate to property, plant, and equipment. In this respect, we looked at, we had problems with the capital work in progress. We did not agree with the classification of various items of capital work in progress. And we also noted that there were inadequate controls around the management of assets. There were no unique identifying codes that could assist us to get assurance on the, whether the assets actually exist and whether all those assets are properly recorded. We also had challenges with the valuation of assets, whereby the useful lives of the assets were not provided in the asset registers provided for audits, and management did not effectively consider whether the assets were properly valued at the end of the period. We had a qualification on the program form and support type. So our audits, we noted that several items and the originated content were recorded at a zero value, but the entity continued to exploit fees for revenue. Management fees required to review the amortization against the program to ensure that it's recorded at the correct value, and we therefore do not get assurance that these were recorded at the correct value. We have a presentation on irregular expenditure, whereby we noted a number of instances of non-compliance with procurement legislation that were not initially identified by management. We could not get adequate assurance before that all of the irregular expenditure that should have been recorded has been recorded. The qualification or taxation essentially relates to the matters that were qualified affecting the income statement. Then we included a qualification on payable that this relates to prior year only. In the prior year, we want to make sure that all of the liabilities that should have been reported have been reported. In the current year, management had implemented effective controls around this area, and we were able to get assurance around this. So the qualification is taking effect on PDP only. At the bottom of the slide, you see that there are the four pie graphs reflecting 2018 versus 2017. So essentially, we noticed that two entities had material corrections to their financial statements, SABC and MDDA. MDDA were able to correct those material mistakes, which resulted in an unqualified opinion. However, SABC, while they did correct some of the material errors, they were not able to correct all of them, resulting in a qualification method that remains. The next slide goes to the findings that we had around compliance with legislation, which is in the red block to the left. And in the gray block to the right, we speak to our findings on performance on the annual performance plan and the annual performance report. Under compliance, you will we've spoken already about the material corrections to the financial statements. However, because our NPDA, mandate, and SABC have significant findings in the current year, mainly related to non-compliance with procurement and contract management and the legislation relating to that. So primarily for the portfolio, which is not compliance management related to procurement and the particular expenditure. In addition to that, MDDA had a finding on consequence management, which we will speak to again later in the slide. On the right-hand side of the slide, if we look at the policy of annual performance plan, we note no significant improvements against the previous year. When we look at the policy of the annual performance plan, we consider whether the indicators and targets were well-defined, whether they had a clear and unambiguous meaning, and whether they adhere to SMART principles. SABC, ICASA, and SCB continue to have challenges in this regard when compared to the previous year. We look at the quality of the annual performance report. When we look at this, we would test consistency with the annual performance plan and test whether the information reported was reliable. That is, whether it was properly supported by audit evidence and was completely reported. Matters identified related to the quality of the ACP could have a direct impact on the reliability of the information that was reported, as was the case for ACBC, ICASA, and ACP. And it's therefore important for the portfolio that going forward, there is more of a focus on the annual performance plan and ensuring that those plans that is the indicators and how those plans are properly defined. We note a regression in the policy of the APR from 43% to 57%. The graph on the left-hand side refers to the statement of internal controls. So this year we kept this graph at quite a high level. It covers the three elements of the order that we looked at, being the financial statements, compliance legislation, and the performance information that is reported. We further look at the different levels of responsibility, being leadership, which essentially would refer to the DG, CEO, board, and CEO level. We look at financial management, which refers to the lower levels of management that are responsible for implementing internal controls. And we're looking at governance, which relates to risk management, internal audit, is directly related to the audit outcome, which is why we see that SAPC is mainly in the red. On an overall basis, we noted no significant shift in savings and internal controls as compared to the prior year, except for the classification for branded names under leadership, with findings relating to irregular expenditure. Before looking at the assessment of internal controls with the SAPC and our assessment of their controls, we noticed that throughout the period under review, there were critical deficiencies at the CEO and CFO level. We further noted that action plans were not sufficiently implemented to address the gaps identified from the previous financial year. Under financial management, SAPC had included internal controls that were not corrected during the year that resulted in the daily qualification methods that we reported on. In respect to governance for the SAPC, the key issue there was around risk management that was not effectively implemented, and the key risks that they were not adequately managed. We did identify certain concerns around SAPA. We noted challenges at the board level because the board had failed to truthfully being required to do so and did not meet regularly and which impacted on their oversight responsibility. We noted critical vacancies at the CFO and the CEO level throughout the year under review. Also, NDPA mentioned did not implement adequate controls over the reporting processes and compliance with legislation, and risk management was not effectively implemented. Also, in the yellow, we noted that CASA is there as well. The issues around the CASA mainly relate to factors relating to irregular expenditure and to the usefulness and reliability of this information. We've assessed the controls as yellow for leadership, mainly because the action plan that was developed against the prior findings were not that effectively implemented to clear the connected to problems for the balance. On the right-hand side of the slide, we refer to the assurance that has been provided by the various levels of assurance. In this slide, we assess the levels of persons that are responsible for providing assurance, that is, the effectively implementing, monitoring, reviewing, recommending, and taking corrective action when necessary. What's important to note is that these assurance are assessed based on the extent of their influence and their impact on the audit outcomes, so they will not be all encompassing assessments. Overall, we noted that there is no significant shift compared to the previous year. If we look at senior management roles, the levels of management responsible for implementing effective internal controls, the accounting officer is responsible for taking clear guidance up front in terms of the tax process and regularly reviewing and monitoring the process throughout the period to ensure that corrective action is taken to improve the audit outcomes. When we look at the executive authority, we essentially looking at the extent of influence that the executive authority may have. What is important to note is that this relates to positions during the period, not taking credit to a person, because we know that there has been changes in the position during the period. If we look at internal audit and audit policy in relation to their influence over the audit outcomes, we noticed no significant improvement over the previous year and the last relates to the work that the portfolio committee has done, again relating to the sphere of influence that they would have over the audit outcomes. The next slide relates to status of report review, which we have performed for the SABC. So the status of report review was introduced by the AGFA during the larger review. The purpose of this is essentially to perform procedures early on in the audit process by inspecting documentation and through our discussions with senior managers, to determine what are the key methods and weaknesses in the process to assist management to correct them prior to the addition of the financial statements for audit. So with the SABC, we started engagement with management in January, and through this process we've had engagement with the audit committee, with the chairperson of the board. We've also met with the Honourable Minister to discuss this as well. I think, unfortunately for the SABC, they've come to us in one of the focus areas back in January. They were not able to hear the qualification ended. So the names have remained. We have noticed that there is a CEO appointed in July after the financial year ends, and a new CFO that has been appointed as well. So for the purposes of the statement of records review, we will continue our discussions with him, and we expect and hope that there will be momentum to deal with the aspects, or the key aspects that will drive the improvements in water outcomes. I'm not going to go through the various key focus areas because we've already touched on it on the other side that we've spoken to. The next part of our presentation relates to the management and delivery of key programs. In this respect, we've selected the Broadcasting Digital Migration Project as part of our focus for value-added procedures. This project was started in 2022. And you do hear that the deadline for migration from analog to digital has moved significantly over the years, and the new deadline is estimated to be for June 2019. In this respect, the Department of Communications has three targets, CAN targets, in its annual performance plan, of which one of them was not achieved. The target that related to analog signal switch-off in 88 borderline towns within 7 provinces was the one that was not achieved. We did perform value-added procedures around this, and we listed there the key findings and weaknesses that we've identified around the management of the project. We noticed that the responsibility for delivering on various parts of the project are divided between among the Department of Communications, SAPO and USASA, which kind of makes coordination a bit of a challenge when it relates to control. However, one of the issues that we identified is that there is a lack of appropriate coordination and effective planning between all the relevant stakeholders to ensure that the ultimate goal of switch off by the set date is achieved. We've noticed through discussions with the department that it does not have adequate human resource capacity for managing the project within the department itself. During the annual review, the department had between 2 to 6 people that were allocated to manage this project. We noticed the management of extension as a concern. During the 16-17 year, the department did not utilize all the funds that were allocated to them, resulting in an underspending of 32%, and in 2018, an underspending of 26%. Therefore, we noted that proper planning is done prior to the start of the financial year to ensure that sufficient funds are made available and that those funds can be utilized throughout the period. And then we further noted the lack of adequate public awareness initiatives to get qualifying households registered. At the end of March, we noted that only 686,000 households have been successfully registered and qualified to receive set-top boxes, which represented only 14% of the target that had been set. So the next slide is on to financial health. We looked at financial health of the portfolio and only noted concerns at one entity, being SABC. As previously mentioned, at the end of the year, the entity was commercially insolvent. So it was not able to settle its liabilities as and when it was due. Through our audit procedures, we noted that the entity did not have an adequate model to properly forecast the cash flows to be able to have issues in trying to verify the numbers that were included in there. We also noted that the balances did not properly consider all of the relevant information and therefore was incomplete. We further noted that through the forecast that was prepared, that management had forecast a significant increase in creditors, which is a concern in terms of being able to pay your creditors for the future period. As we mentioned before, that we have received the very initial draft of the roadmap that was prepared, or the turnaround strategy. However, those who still have the interest in stage may or may not be adequately factored into the cash flow forecast. The nationwide financial health goes into a little bit more detail in terms of the important aspects of the financial statements related to going concern. The first graph on the left shows the movement in cash reserve tables and profit and loss. Whereas the bottom graph refers to the movement in revenue and expenditure. You'll notice that in 2014, the ABDC had cash reserves of almost 1.5 billion. It had payables of 500 million, and it still had a positive net profit at that time. In 2014 as well, the revenue exceeded the expenditure by a small margin, but it did at that stage exceed the expenditure. As we move through the years, we notice that there has been a drop in all of these items, and at the end of 2017-18, the cash balances had reduced to 131 million, which is far below the 600 million that management had set as a benchmark for what is required. The creditors have increased to 1.1 billion and the entity had a loss of 621 million. In the bottom slide, you'll notice that since 2014, the expenditure has continued to exceed the revenue, and at the end of 2018, the revenue was at 6.57 billion versus the 7.2 billion worth of expenditure. In analyzing the revenue and expenditure, we also noted again the prior year, the revenue has only increased by 1% compared to a 6% decrease in expenditure. Essentially, we noted that through the key items of expenditure, the strategy of management was to contain these costs. However, there has been no significant improvement in the revenue growth. Looking at this, I think the turnaround strategy that FABC will continue to present to you and will continue to implement is going to be critical to turn around the going concern issues that it currently has. So the next few slides provide an analysis of the largest financial statements related to irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. This slide excludes the SABC, we talked to the SABC on the previous slide. The top half of the graph refers to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. The definition for this is included, but it essentially relates to expenditure that is incurred in May and could have been avoided if reasonable steps have been taken. In this respect, we note that there were no value or duty for the money that has been spent. The total portfolio is really SABC. This has decreased from 12.3 million in the previous year to 8.75 million in the current year. On the right-hand side is a table that sets out the interest and wait for expenditure per entity. And on the left-hand side, we have defined the three top types of fruitless and wasteful that has been identified, and the key drivers for this essentially relate to settlements on legal claims that have been made by GCIS at 4 million and SCP at 2.9 million. The bottom half of the graph relates to irregular expenditure, which is essentially conjugation of key legislation. We note that in these cases, goods and services have been delivered, however, prescribed processes may not have been followed. Irregular expenditure has increased from 34.3 million in the previous year to 55 million in the current year. We noted significant increases for the cost out from 27 million to 39.9 million. And second to that is granted there at 10.7 million. The next slide refers to critical resource expenditure and aid expenditure, or SABC specifically. On the top of the slide, we refer to balances at year-end, as well as below that, the current year expenditure. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure balance has increased from 146 million to 250 million, whereas the It's friendship. Encouraging parents here and increase some parents' final to 84 million. On the right hand slide, we provided an analysis of the top three items relating to this. The first item relates to PAY in hospital health for 17 million. In addition to this, ASP had paid salaries and wages to a group of employees. It did not withhold the PAYE, and this was due to funds, and then the entity was not able to recover it from the employees, and therefore had to pay the expense over themselves. Unauthorized payments of overtime amounted to 25 million, and fine penalties and interest amounted to 35 million. If we look at irregular expenditure, the balance had increased from 4.4 million to 5 million at the end of the year, and irregular expenditure incurred during the year had decreased from 687 million to 571 million. However, we qualified as to say that we were not satisfied that all of the irregular expenditure that should have been included has been included. On the right hand side, we talked to the different categories of irregular expenditure. The more material of those, or the more significant of those, relates to procurement of the expenses not followed, 186 million, and procurement without valid contract, 122 million, and delegation of authority framework contributing 136 million. This slide was to foreign conflict management. It was only the NPDA that had a finding on compliance with communication as it relates to conflict management. In this respect, the investigations have been completed with NPDA, but management had not at the end of the financial year taken adequate action against the individuals based on the investigations that were undertaken. We further noted that there were allegations that were not investigated at FNPC, and investigations that took longer than 3 months at FNPC and CASA. Throughout our auditing process, we noted that the FNPC is going through various investigations. However, at the end of the financial year, there were still certain allegations that were not yet investigated. On the right-hand side, we refer to actions that have been taken by management to address the previous year's irregular expenditure that was identified. We noted that at FNPC, processes have been started to investigate those. However, at NDDA and CASA, they are not yet being investigated at the end of the financial year. The last part of our presentation relates to reporters, commitments, and project recommendations. We have included the top two reporters in our portfolio. The first being a slow response by management. To address all the findings that we've identified in the previous year, we noted that the action plans were not effectively implemented at FABC, CASA, and NDDA. The second is to report that we've identified relates to instability for vacancies in key positions. The CEO and CFO positions at the SABC were vacant throughout the year under review with appointments subsequent to year end, and at NCDA, the CEO and the CFO positions were vacant, which had an impact on the outcome. At the SABC, we identified inadequate contractors for the outcomes of the previous year, and noted that the SABC did not adequately investigate the reasons for all of our time and did not effectively implement constant management resources. In this commitment to the SABC, there were two essential elements of the equipment of the prior year that were completed. The permanent board has been appointed during the year under review, and key positions of CEO, CFO, and COO were sold, although the CEO and CFO positions were for subsequent to the year end. We also noted that there were certain aspects of the commitments that were in progress at the end of the financial year. We noted that there has been improvement in the record keeping processes in respect to the accounting and performance information. There has been progress in the filling of critical vacancies, and management have made progress with ensuring that performance agreements signed for management level and above, and we noted that there has been good monitoring and oversight by the Department of Communication. What is not being adequately implemented is the frequency business of the implementation of the action plan to ensure that the audit outcomes had improved during the year. We noted that IT governance and IT and the IT framework were not improved during the year. So this is an aspect that needs to be looked at. We spoke to crisis management, said that has not been effectively implemented at the SAPC, and we further noted that risk management was not effectively implemented during the year. In respect of the recommendation, we address our recommendation to the portfolio committee to assist you in your oversight responsibilities. And there are four things that we are recommending that the committee should follow through or request from management to assist with this process. We say that the action plans are extremely important for all of the entities to ensure that there is proper definition of what needs to be achieved during the year and proper monitoring in respect to that. It's therefore important that the portfolio committee has open feedback on the action plan and the implementation progress with the progress with the implementation of those plans. It's important that key vacancies are filled at SAPC and NDDA. So we recommend that quality feedback on that is obtained and that there must be regular feedback, at least on a quarterly basis, on the controls that have been implemented by the entities to over irregular expenditure and the implementation of preventive controls relating to that. And the issue of financial health at SABC is a matter of concern, and the committee should request feedback on that on a regular basis. Chair, the last slide of the presentation refers to the corruption equation, which you might have seen before. It was developed by Robert Pritzker. I'd like to just take you through quickly. The equation essentially says that corruption equals monopoly and self-discretion minus accountability. And you'll see in the first slide that monopoly and discretion are the same for the two equations. We think that in a public sector environment, the government generally has monopoly in terms of spending, and the accounts officer and the various officials have discretion. So we are able to affect monopoly and discretion on both sides of the equation. However, if we're able to influence accountability, we will be able to influence the levels of corruption. With the second slide, we're saying if we are able to increase accountability and put more focus on this, we will be able to reduce corruption. And the bottom of the slide says that increasing corruption essentially relates to a decrease in service delivery. This is a slide that affects all of us, and therefore accountability is extremely important on our side, but also on the side of the committee to ensure that individuals are held accountable in the day. And with that, I'm going to hand over to the others.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think just to wrap up after the change, is to indicate that overall we've seen a decrease in internal control, a decrease in the accountability cycle. But we've seen a level of commitment from the new leadership at the SABC. We even delayed our sign-off for a few days to interrogate the information that was presented at the end of July. And it's true to say that at that time, we were not able to give adequate assurance that there will be a going concern for the foreseeable future. But we did get a level of assurance from management that they are dealing with the challenges and that we might be working there in their going concern going forward should the action plan be successful. But our opinion was based on the fact of the fact that we've had at the end of July. Chair, maybe at the equipment for at the end of the session, we will be giving out a feedback form. We would like to get feedback as well on the presentation and how we can improve our service in the future for the leaders specifically. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
because I'm a bit happy to hear your last comment about the leadership of the city taking this responsibility, the new leadership taking this responsibility. It gives hope to South Africa. And after this comment alone, that South Africa, if we have such a leadership, are demonstrating right now that there's something happening. Somewhere in your presentation, I was comfortable when I saw, you know, Minister, the AG their work is toward the youth and all of that. And sometimes people can deal with their needs so that they get the knowledge from the AG. But there is something that I've been, I'm happy about, is the impact on service delivery. You know, this thing of clean audit without service delivery is not helpful to us. But I see in the presentation that there is that. And each of you will know that some of us have raised this thing just earlier, 2014, 15. But fine, yes, auditing, it's fine, clean audit, this and that, but how do we gauge an impact on service? And I'm happy that in the slide that is something like that. Members, I was just commenting so that if the parents didn't have any clarity question. Over to you. Your face is saying something that you want to say something. Yeah.
I'm
very happy with you. Let me switch off this one so that you can use them.
Thank you, Chair. I'm happy with the report, and I think I'll leave my questions to the entities. But I think it was another report that I'm happy with.
Yeah, no.
Thank you.
Chair, maybe most of the questions and the directions will be with the department and the entities. Except just to if the AG's delegation can help me. I see no BCSA have been getting throughout clean audits. I don't know whether the regression have to do with because if I remember, at one stage, one good CEO there resigned, or CFO, one eloquent, very sharp guy. I don't know whether this is have to do with the losing expertise within BCSA itself, because they have been performing very well. If we have been able to pick that up. But also I want to go back to what the chair, because your report, some of your findings will be based on what happened during 2016-17 financial year coming over. So in overall, with now the new leadership coming up and trying to address issues of governance, and trying to address what was there before. In your opinion, can you maybe, does that suggest there might be a progress moving forward in addressing some of these problems. Look, remember some of these problems we are raising here as AG are old problems we have been raised, especially on misstatements, wasteful and irregular expenditure. In all those are old issues. Can you maybe clarify me if you have seen an improvement with the new leadership coming in? I know that these guys are new, these senior managers which have been I think if maybe you can that's where I want to get if you have seen at least positive attitude towards resolving the problems of SABC in particular. Likewise in MTTA, you have seen the chaos which has been there, which has resulted to MTTA to gradually regress up to this level now. Thank you.
Just few clarity seeking questions. One is regard to slide 16. I see only SABC there where intervention is required with 14%. Maybe you might need to clarify that one. Because I thought with what has been indicated here in terms of other entities, some of the entities were supposed to be there with their percentages in terms of the intervention that are required. The second one is slide 25. I see there some allegations which were not investigations took longer than 3 months. I thought you would then be able to clarify as to, in the process of you doing your work, what were the reasons given, why allegations were not investigated, and why it took longer than 3 months to investigate some of the allegations. The last one is the regular expenditure. It's just a question for all the questions that are coming around the SABC. I think we would then be able to engage with that, but I'm a bit worried with the regular expenditure aspect, because it's one issue that has been there throughout the 3-year cycle. I don't remember which that was, but in the course of you engaging with them, what has been the reason why that issue has not been attended for the past 3 years? Because it has, it's one issue that has always been there throughout, the issue of irregular expenditure for the SAP. Resulting in them being qualified. I think the rest of the issues, as our board members have indicated, will engage with the agencies when they come. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I think we welcome in this presentation, but mine is on page 11. You are saying, with regards to the irregular expenditure, 626 million vis-à-vis 722 million, that is not an improvement. Maybe if you could elaborate more of what the meaning of that. On page 14, I realized that the quality of financial statements, your block there, which then indicates poor control, slow progress, performance management. Could this be directed to the fact that there is no strategic leadership, perhaps on the SABC, because this these are aspects wherein the executive management may have to implement or execute, or maybe they belong to middle management. Lastly, I would want to welcome the final comment made by the AG with regards to feedback forms, because we may have had presentations and what members of parliament earlier, but we have never realized this. And I think that is content in the manner that we will then hear our views very clearly, and then that will improve the manner in which we work for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also welcome the report of the agent. Some of my questions were directed to the interviews. And also in terms of this, of these findings, we are aware of to the entities, because we always get help from them. But my question, I will also repeat the question of my colleague in terms of this fraud addition. The victim of are not properly investigated. I'm not sure by whom. Who is responsible for this and properly investigated? Also, in page 27, I'm also welcome your target actually, but the target not achieved and not evaluated. What is the reason for that? Where it started, yeah, to be achieved. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, turn on it. Just switch it off.
Okay, switch that on. Strategy. And
also to indicate that on the issues that have also been raised around leadership in the SABC correctly, so the new CEO, the new COO, and one female out of the new appointments as the CFO, and hopefully this would also be making things quite easier for work to be done. And the cutting short, I want to make change that even on our side, which I think the AG, it's not in the AG's area of responsibility, but when we deal with the Department of Communication, one of our weakest link, which is our primary mandate, is the oversight capacity. It's the oversight capacity which over time the department has actually undermined in terms of its responsibility. This is one of the areas that together with the DG and the entire management, we all are working at pulling more professional capacity to deal with the NGT oversight. Because other than NGT oversight, policy and regulation then become the two other legs that make the department to exist. So I want to concede that some of the issues continue in perpetuity, have continued in perpetuity from 16-17, it is what, 15-16 to 16-17, and where we are precisely because of that absence of our very dynamic and efficient oversight capacity. And therefore the review on the shareholder context, the review on the role of the shareholder, as well as the responsibility of the department management, would be one of the things going forward when we also present. I'm sure the DG will be able to elaborate on, because we fully agree with your comments, Chair, that you may have 700 screen audits, but not being effective. And we will consider also in our presentations to say, we would not be effective on our financial management. And this is but one of the things that we are trying to do. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Minister. You know, if you look at slide 25, 24, you criminalize, and unfortunately, it talks to people who are not necessarily in the SABC to speak. This is a neglect of duty by SABC management. Pay as we earn, not without. Unauthorized payment of overtime. Fine, penalties, interest. Look at the money. But those people are not there, some of them. I don't know, I'm not sure about consequences management in terms of that. Because this is after an effect, after a year, this. AJ, you advise me. I don't know, because some of the issues cannot do anything until the end of the year, but some you can as you proceed to from another quarter to another one and all of that, and raise the red flag so that these are attended to. I mean, what kind of management? Who can just not deal with payers and pay over time and all that? Maybe it's your findings, but you cannot explain as to why something happened, because it's not yours. It's for facilities management, and some of them not there. But I think these are the things that we must all the time look at, so that they don't come to this. It talks to millions of us. Yeah. These are clarification from members, and maybe you just need to not to resolve issues that will deal with entities and the department. But I can see Honorable Teddy. Can you give him quickly? And then after that we proceed to responses.
Because we just wanted to elaborate on this, so that when we might just hold on to the department, to elaborate on this, and so that when we engage entities, we are clear. This is done precisely for arming us with information, so that when we meet entities, we are very clear. Switch it on.
I realize that I also missed one aspect on slide 19, the BDM, product medical migration. As much as in terms of the way forward, we are still going to be engaged in the department at better stage on this particular aspect. But I thought the lady can as well talk to me some of the issues that need to be clarified. Because I'm personally worried about the 13 million that could not be spent from your presentation. 32% in 2017, 5 million in 2006, and 36% 17, 18, and more funds are still required to achieve the right deadline for the project. Why would we want money when given money you can't spend? It doesn't make sense. Because to us as politicians, it becomes very worrisome. On a number of occasions, we have been talking about the aspect of the department not having money, but when given money, you can't spend it. And the reasons provided there, adequate human resource capacity for monitoring the BDM project in the Department of Communities. To me, that reason is not convincing. That's what I'm saying. It's one aspect that we might still need a separate session with the department on this particular issue in particular. But I thought from the AG side, you might have to talk to that particular aspect in terms of the reasons which were given. That no adequate human resource capacity, why that kind of situation which led to taking not being spent when people come and say there's no money to execute certain money in the department. So I appreciate if the AG can still talk to that one as much as what's good within the department on that issue. To me, it's one of that.
So you go.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much. We are going to hand over to AG, and thereafter we will break for 5 minutes. Yeah, AG. Wait for me so that I should sit.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
There was a comment made about the impact of the leadership intervention and the SABC. And that's a known fact, to say it definitely had a detrimental impact on the results of the SABC. With the new leadership coming in, we have seen a definitely an ownership and a willingness to deal with the issues. They immediately started with collective action in a number of areas. And then there was also a comment about the lack of internal control and the lack of leadership. That, and that is mainly resulted or linked to the fact that the action plans were not properly monitored right through the year, as well as the plans on supply chain management. Now the question also came up about the supply chain matter. On supply chain, they're dealing with two issues. One is the history, the past, where they basically to get contracts, ratify them, determine what is exactly the amount of electrical expenditure that was incurred by the ACBC in the past. But their internal controls around the current expenditure is still problematic as well. So in this year, that again incurs electrical expenditure. And that is why you will note on the on slide 11 where we spoke about the completeness of the daily expenditure, we are not able to determine what is the amount. So although we say if you look at the financial factors, it's less than last year, it could be more because we were not able to do all the contract or all the expenditure. Then there was also a comment about the quality of financial statements, again, it's due to leadership. I think we have one big report in the SABC that leads to the poor internal control environment, and that was really the leadership instability, the lack of monetary control. Even when the comment was made about the frequent waste for expenditure, about pay should not be deducted, not being paid. That all leads to a monthly control that's lacking. And again, if you link it back to our accountability cycle, we say we plan, you do, you check, and you act. Now what fails in this cycle is that the checking didn't happen and the acting didn't happen. There was no consequences for a person that was told to do a recall affiliation and that didn't do it. So that's all coming back to play out in one or other form as we get the financial statement. Jim, that is as far as it relates to SABC. I'm going to hand over to Jimmy to just touch on some of the others.
Thanks, Adam. I'll start with a question on the impact of self-disability that the chair gave and how do we assess the impact of self-disability. The slide on this, that it actually, you spoke about the very statement that we had on the accountability here, where we said that if the four aspects are achieved, then this will result in better audit outcomes. And in further to that, we said with better audit outcomes, this will have a positive effect on the service delivery aspect. Chairman, our responsibilities are largely limited to the financial aspects and the reporting of the areas that we spoke about. In looking at those areas and in looking at the four areas of plan to check at, we think that if there could be proper financial discipline in those areas, then it will also create the culture within the organization to also have similar discipline in the achievement of service delivery aspects. So promoting this kind of culture will have a positive impact on service delivery. In respect of the auditor's review of service delivery methods, sometimes we will identify key focus areas. And I think for absolute communications portfolio that's related to the broadcasting digitalization process. So our auditor's decision, especially when it's related to performance information, is largely related to how credible is the information that is presented. So we don't necessarily express an opinion on whether the department has performed or has not performed. However, we do try to build in certain aspects or value-added features that touch on self-delivery methods, and that's what we try to do with it. Going forward, we can continue to assess what are the other aspects that we should be looking at in terms of that to continue to improve the value that we add in terms of all. Chair, with a question on brand essay and the regression that we noted, and with this could be the gap to change in leadership. From our point of view, when we report on findings, it tends to be based on the issues that we identify when we go to these entities. It's very difficult for us to relate it back to the performance of individuals. I think that will normally be done by the entities through their performance management processes. But for us, we would limit it then to say there has been regression, and the regression relates to quality internal control. Control, or yes, it should be having a regression in the internal control program that resulted in the findings of the regular expenditure. There was a question around MBDA as well, to whether we've seen improvements subsequent to the The feedback that I've received is that there have been improvements at board level. However, it's very difficult to determine at this stage whether there has been improvements. We will continue to do that as the year progresses. We have decided as an office that we will continue with the same successful review across all our entities. So we expect that going forward, probably with the interim review, that we will be able to provide you with better feedback on the improvements that were noted at SABA. There was a question on time 16 that asked why the SABC the only entity that was in the head. And basically, I think that the issue related to the audit outcomes that we have, the SABC has a disclaimer of opinion, whereas NCPA, Brand SA, although they do have issues, they do have that significant of an impact because of the potential audit outcome. Slide 25, there were a few questions on why were the allegations not investigated and why did some of these allegations take a long time to investigate. At the end of the meeting, we noted that there has been allegations to conduct the investigation, especially at the internal audit level. However, we noted that they were not able to get through all of these by the year end. I think exactly why, and the SAPC will have to explain in respect to that. We noted that some investigations should be longer than 3 months. Part of that relates to the internal investigation that I've said to be undertaken. The investigations are ongoing. They have received a final report in respect to that. And some of them relate to internal audit matters again, which is why we will not be able to give you an exact reason to why it took that long. We further noted that CASA as well implies that they also took a longer than 3 months for the investigations around the issues that they have on supply chain management. There was a question from one of the members around the slide 11 as to why the amount of 626 million is showing as an improvement. Why do you say that this is an improvement? So when you look at it firstly, Coles is just looking at what should the current year in the given expenditure incurred versus the prior year. The current year at 626 million is still through the financial statements of all of the entities throughout the world. I see that the slide seems to be confusing because we do qualify on that slide to say that even though it's lower, we do qualify SAPC on the completeness of the regular expenditure. So therefore, that should expect 26 times to take the business that is the amount. We believe that there should be more in respect to that.
Also rearrange what Or the five chapters.
Yeah?